The Traveler's Psalm, an exposition of Psalm 121. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, February the 8th, 2017.
Well, it is a joyful, wonderful day whenever a man or woman or boy or girl gives their heart to the Lord Jesus. It is a glorious thing when people come to faith in the Lord Jesus, because all their problems are over from that day on. It's just smooth sailing from there on in, without a single care in the world, nothing to interfere with the tranquility of their soul, nothing to cause them to ever doubt the assurance of God's grace and His presence at all times. If you believe that, I've got some swampland in Florida, and I'd like to talk with you after the service tonight. Being a child of God doesn't mean we'll not have problems. It doesn't mean that we'll not have trial and tribulation. It doesn't mean that we'll not struggle. Now, for certain, anyone who comes to faith in Christ, their life is changed dramatically and changed forever the moment they come to faith. Their life is forever changed. But we're not promised a bed of perpetual roses. Life in the Spirit, life as a child of God, is not a stroll in the park. When we come to faith in Christ, we begin a pilgrimage that will last our lifetime. We begin on a journey of growing in Christ's likeness, where there is this growing dissatisfaction with life here, and an increasing longing for the world to come. The fact is, when you come to faith in Christ, the longer you know Him, the longer you walk with Him, the more dissatisfied you ought to be with this world. The more trouble there ought to be, because you're just not interested anymore. You're losing interest in this world. It's losing its grip on you as you long for your eternal home. The gospel song says, "This world's not my home, I'm just passing through." The problem is, for too many, this world is our home. We're not only at home, we're hunkered down. We're dug in and so attached and clinging so tenaciously to this life. We discovered last time, as we began to look at the Psalms of Ascent in Psalm 120, that there are two words that ought to describe us as the people of God. Two descriptors. Disciple, that is a learner, as a follower, not learner in the sense of the classroom, that you sit and this knowledge is poured into you and you gain all these facts, but an apprenticeship, a learning a trade, learning to apply spiritual truth, learning to grow in Christ's likeness and righteousness. That you are a disciple, and the other word is pilgrim. You're going somewhere, and your life is forever on a journey going someplace else, because this world isn't our home. We long for a city whose builder and maker is God, and we live all our life with that. Again, increasingly dissatisfied with life here and longing for life there. This evening we come to Psalm 121, which is known as the Traveler's Psalm. It was a favorite of David Livingstone, the famous missionary and explorer. James Boyce, in his commentary on the Psalms, gets to this psalm and he says, this is the psalm that his mother read every time the family prepared to take a trip. Or if someone in the family was going on a journey, she insisted on reading this psalm and then them praying together about the trip that is before them. Let's look at Psalm 121. It's just 8 verses. Again, this is part of the Psalms of Ascent, which are Psalm 120 through 134, that the pilgrims would sing on their way to Jerusalem. As they make their way from wherever they live to the mandatory feast, they would sing these songs as they approached Jerusalem. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. As we're traveling down this road, as we are on this pilgrimage to another place, as we make our way towards the heavenly city, this is one of the psalms that we should be singing. The pilgrim life is filled with pitfalls and troubles, but believers rest in the abiding presence and abundant provision of our loving sovereign. Yeah, we're going to have trial and tribulation. We're going to face trouble in this life. There are going to be dark and difficult days. There may even be seasons of darkness, but as the people of God, we rest in the fact that our God is present with us and that He graciously provides everything needed to get us through this journey. We rest in the presence and the gracious sovereign provision of our God. Three things I want to point out to you as we work our way through this psalm. First of all, life for the child of God includes a series of dangers, frustrations, and heartaches. Mark it down. One of the problems we have is sometimes when we want to share the gospel with someone, we're influenced by advertising. We think, I got to sell this. I got to cause them to want this. So I'm only going to emphasize real positive things. I'm going to steer away from anything that might be the least bit negative. And whether we intend it or not, we do tend to imply to people, if you'll just trust Jesus, all your problems will be over. Truth of the matter is, when you come to faith in Christ, your problems don't automatically disappear. And in fact, you get a whole bunch of new ones. Things that weren't problems before become problems. Because before I was at home in this world, now I'm not. Before I was blissful in my ignorance. But when I am awakened and I become spiritually alive and the Word of God begins to illumine my mind, I find out I got problems in areas I didn't even realize were a problem. Life in this sin-cursed world is difficult. And as a child of God, we don't get a free pass. We are not assured that life is going to be great for us. In fact, the opposite is true. I've talked to a few people through the years who've moved here from other countries, people that aren't from the United States, that didn't grow up here, especially people even that may be from another part of the country, but they move here. And the one thing that seems to fascinate them is our interest in the weather. They just don't understand it. They don't understand why we're so obsessed with the weather and what's going to happen. And I've had some people say to me, why do they constantly interrupt the television show to tell you about something that might happen if things should happen to continue to happen the way it looks like it might be happening? You know, when they interrupt your show, you're all caught up in it, you're all interested, you think, I've been waiting 6 months to watch this show, and right in the middle of it, they interrupt us here in Tulsa to tell us there's a possibility of a storm in the panhandle. And we say, well, good, tell those people in the panhandle it may be coming, but let me watch my show. Or you get a weather advisory. It says things to you like, now, if you're heading to Texas, you might be aware of such and such. Or you need to be aware that there's slick roads between here and Arkansas and in southwest Missouri. We need to be warned of these possibilities of some danger along the way. Well, in one sense, in this psalm, it opens with the psalmist given a traveler's advisory. You're on your way. You're on your pilgrimage. You're making your way through life. And there are some hazards along the way. There are some things that you might want to be aware of. And those are found in verse 3 and again in verse 6. He will not let your foot be moved. Verse 6. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. That sounds strange to us. But basically, the writer is telling us that there are three possibilities of harm for travelers as they make their pilgrimage. One is that you could step on a loose stone and sprain an ankle or a flip. That's what he's saying when he says, he will not let your foot be moved. He's guarding your steps. He's guiding your path, because there's a possibility you could slip and fall on slippery rocks and lose your way and your footing. The other is there's danger due to exposure to the sun. You might faint or have a heat stroke. And so he assures us in verse 6 that the sun will not strike us by day. Or this reference to the moon by night. It could be that the pressures of a long journey and the fatigue and anxiety that settles in, a person could become emotionally ill. He could be moonstruck, or he could have lunacy come upon him. So he's warning about these things that could happen to you along the journey. The point is, the psalmist is making us aware, as the Word of God consistently makes us aware, there are dangers and struggles and pitfalls along the way. Nowhere are we promised in Scripture that we'll not have trouble. Nowhere are we given a free pass. We just have no right to expect that God owes us a carefree existence. He doesn't. And in fact, in the Scripture we're told, in this world you will have tribulation. Jesus said that bluntly and directly to his followers, John 16 and verse 33. Expect it in this life, in this sin-cursed world, in this world that is dominated by sin and wickedness, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. That's why he talks in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are you when men revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on my account. He's blessed are you when they hate you like they hated me. Now, again, the point of our Lord is not if these things should happen to you, but rather when these things happen. The language of our Lord, the language of this psalm, the language consistently in Scripture is that the people of God will have trouble, difficulty, heartache, pain, and struggle in this life. It's part of the fallen condition of our world. And while faith in Christ delivers us from the curse of sin, it doesn't deliver us from all heartache and all trouble. We will experience, we will have it. The difference is the Lord's promise to be with us, the Lord's promise to carry us through, the Lord's assurance that His grace is sufficient. Again, we looked at it Sunday in Luke chapter 12, as Jesus spoke to those who were His and said, you don't need to be worried. You don't need to concern yourself with those people who all they can do is kill you. Be concerned with the one who, after having killed you, has the authority to cast you into hell. Then he goes on to say, and don't worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to defend yourself whenever you are dragged before the synagogue or brought before the rulers or the authorities. The Holy Spirit will give you the words at that moment. He didn't say, don't worry that by chance you might end up in a difficult spot, or you might be dragged into court, or you might find yourself in a position where people with authority are questioning you. If that should happen, he's not saying if, he's saying when it happens. Rest assured of the presence of the Spirit and His giving you the words you need in the moment that you need it. In this life, we will have trouble. Being a child of God doesn't give us a free pass. Being His child, faithful to read the Scripture, faithful to pray, faithful to walk in obedience, is no guarantee that we'll not have heartache and pain and sorrow. Life for the child of God includes a series of dangers, frustrations, and heartaches. Second, while this is a natural, inevitable part of life in this fallen world, the child of God finds his help in God and in God alone. Look at verse 1. It's a very familiar verse. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What is that all about? Lift up your eyes. Look unto the hills. Where does your help come from? Now, in some translations, it reads as if it's saying, look to the hills, because in them you will find your hope. And the implication that some take from that is, well, these are pilgrims and they're on their journey. And where are they going? They're going to Jerusalem. And what the psalmist is saying is, as you approach Jerusalem and you reach those foothills that are around the city, when you see those hills, you start rejoicing because you know my journey's almost over. You know I'm almost there. I'm so close I can taste it. I'm so close I can feel it. So you begin to rejoice because you see the end is in sight. You know the end is near. But I think there's more implied than that. And I think really to understand the message of the psalmist, you need to remember the context in which it's written. You need to remember that this is written in the Old Testament times. You need to remember that what was going on around them is pagan worship. We've been looking at it in 1 and 2 Kings as we've worked through that on Sunday evening. We've talked about the high places. And remember, over and over again, there's reference to the king building or allowing the high places. Those were the places of pagan worship. Those are the places of the fertility gods. Those are the places where you go to worship these other gods. And it's the kind of worship that says, if you've got a problem, then all you need to do is come and bribe the god over that particular area, and he'll take care of you. Those are in the hills. Those are in the high places. Practice on the hilltop. Shrines are set up where groves of trees are planted and fertility rites performed, all those kinds of things. And so they say, are you afraid of the heat? Then go to the sun god and buy off his protection by performing this ceremony or that ceremony. The moon priestess will offer you an amulet to protect you. Go to the shrine and learn a magic formula to keep you safe. So he's saying, look into the hills. Where does my help come from? And the psalmist is saying, my help doesn't come from those hills. My help comes from the Lord. I think you need to read it in that way. I think you need to see it in that context. In a world that's enamored with pagan worship, in a world that is enamored with superstition and good luck charms, he's saying, my help isn't found in any of that. My help is found in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That we're very clear, that we're very certain, that we're very distinct about that as the people of God. The fact of the matter is, when you look to the hills, it will always lead to disappointment. Because it never satisfies. It never delivers on its promise. It's Jeremiah who said, truly the hills are a delusion. The orgies on the mountains. Truly the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Jeremiah's dealing with the same issues in his day, saying, quit running to the shrines, quit running to the high places, quit thinking if I just pay off these gods, they're going to handle it, and we're not going to have this trouble anymore. Our help is in the Lord God and the Lord God alone. Again, Lord, capital letters, Yahweh, the covenant God, the God who's revealed himself, the God with whom we have a covenant relationship. We are in a relationship with this God. He and he alone is our deliverer. I'm not immune from trial and trouble. You're not immune. Even as the people of God, even as people who love the Lord, we may have wayward children. We may have a difficult marriage. We may be stuck in a rotten job. We're not promised that we won't have those trials and those trouble. But I guarantee you, your help was only found in the Lord God. You may try 1,000 other things, and they may help for the moment. They may give temporary relief, but they ultimately cannot and will not deliver. Only God can deliver. And our hope as the people of God is in God and in him alone. One of the songs we need to learn to sing again is this song. And we need to boldly declare to ourselves and to others time and time again, I don't know where you're looking. I'm not looking to the hills around me. I'm not looking to these other means. I look to the Lord God alone, the maker of heaven and earth. And I trust in him and him alone. One last thing. God's provision is constant and enduring. We see that in verse 3 through 5 and then again in verses 7 and 8. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is our keeper, or your keeper. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The Lord shall not strike you, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. He is a vigilant watchman. He's never slumbers, nor does he sleep. You're never going to find yourself at that time when you're overwhelmed by heartache and tragedy, and you go to the Lord and you cry out to him and he says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was napping. What was it? What happened?" He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's constantly vigilant. He's always aware. And when you take that thought that he never slumbers or sleeps, that he's always vigilant, and you couple that with your understanding that the hairs of your head are numbered, not a sparrow falls from the sky, and God's attention to every little detail, therein is our comfort. He's never caught off guard. He's never caught unaware. He's never caught flat-footed. And he always makes provision. And by the way, the word provision means he sees beforehand. He knows our need before it ever arises, and provision is waiting for us. That's the kind of God that we serve, a God who is a vigilant watchman. He's also our shade and our right hand in verses 5 and 6. That speaks to his constant care. It speaks to his great provision. It speaks to his comfort, his peace, his rest. He is our shade. He's our shelter from the heat that saps the life out of us. He is our place of refreshment. That's why the scripture emphasizes over and over again that the Lord Jesus himself is our peace. It's not just that he gives us peace. It's not just he dispenses peace to us. He himself is our peace. That's the meaning here. He is our shade. He is our comfort. He himself. We find these things in God and God alone, in his very person, in the relationship we have with him. And he is our abiding protector, keeping us from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going in and your going out. He preserves our life in the daily routine, going in and coming out, going about our everyday business. He watches over. He cares for us. And we rest in his protection and his provision. The truth of the matter is, because our God is sovereign, and because our God is loving, and because we're in relationship with him through the person of the Lord Jesus, he is always watching, always caring, always providing, when we're aware and when we're not aware. The truth of the matter is, he blesses us thousands of times a day that we've never taken note of. It's the kind of God we serve. You don't know what he delivers you from today. You don't know that little delay that kept you from leaving when you were going to leave may have kept you from an accident. You don't know. You don't know how many ways the Lord delivers us every single day. And rather than try to figure it out, and rather than try to trace it down, we as the people of God are simply to rest in the providential love and care of our God and say, he's my shade, he's my shelter, and he keeps my life. You know, there's great peace and comfort in saying, I don't keep my life, he keeps my life. Truth of the matter is, if I keep my life, it's not very safe at all. I know me. I'm incompetent. My trust, my rest, is in the fact that I know he keeps me. That's true of my salvation. It's true of everything. He keeps my life. He preserves. And did you catch the last line of the psalm? From this time forth and forevermore. What a comforting word. I hadn't thought about it before, but Yeah, I think if you're getting ready to get in the car and take a trip, might not be a bad thing to read Psalm 121, those 8 verses, and say, Lord, this trip's on you. And I rest in you and your care and your provision. If your children are taking a trip, you pray, Lord, they're yours and they're kept by your hand. You are their shade. You are their protector in their coming in and their going out. This is a traveler's psalm. We are pilgrims on a journey. This needs to be a regular tune that we break out and sing to his glory and rest and glory and wonder in his gracious provision for us.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.